This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, baby, we are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. It's myself, the guy who's been with me for quite some time now, Alec Medford, and Mike Bacsik is back, too.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno, Mike Bacsik. Alec, do you have any Italian for Mike? As I know you were studying very vigorously through while he was out.
Oh, yes, I definitely was, but I've slept since then. He's going to have to teach me.
Smart. Good. Sleeping is a good thing. Mike, are you happy to be back in America? Like, is that
yeah? I missed my kids a lot. I do miss Dallas, Fort Worth. I did get back in traffic immediately, and it's a different looking place. Obviously, here is, I don't know, maybe there's no new builds in Rome or in Italy. Like, they're not building anything. There's no
they
cranes.
They renovate stuff.
Yeah,
that's
they renovate. It's very interesting, but. Obviously, coming back to just the disappointment of the Cowboys losing 47-9 just crushed my heart. And just it's interesting listening to the calls that came in on Sean and RJ is that I think, and it's going to be a very small percentage, more people are following my lead of like, don't care.
Mm-hmm.
He's not changing.
Yeah.
Jerry's not changing. Now, we know the only way that he'll change, and that will be that, I hate saying this, I'm going to die. Someday I'm going to die.
Yep.
Okay. Everybody listening's going to die. So this is not a shot at Jerry that he's going to die. The day that he passes away, to make it nicer, I guess, but he's going to die just like I'm going to die. That could mean change. But I think the scary part is Steven has a lot of say and it doesn't look like he's much different at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and I get that they're different personalities. Chris Arnold would definitely disagree with
Steven
that.
Steven feels more like, don't mess this up.
Yeah.
While Jerry's still in charge, I don't want to mess anything up. Whereas it felt like early on in Jerry's career, he was a gambler, a risk taker. He would make some moves. And maybe there was a lot of that with it. And he's tried things. It seems like Steven's like, no, we have this path that we can work with.
Yeah, people get offended when I say when Jerry dies. Well, he is going to die. Yeah. I don't know if he's dying tomorrow or dying 40 years from now. Nobody knows that. I guess somebody does.
Somebody. There's somebody.
But I just think that's where I'm at. Like, I've now been there for a couple years now. I'm like, I don't root for this team anymore. They don't affect me emotionally. And it sounded like the phone calls today made it sound like more people want to. It is tough to do, but it sounds like a very small percentage of Cowboy fans want to quit the Cowboys.
From the 214, wrong. Me and Jerry are doing cryo. We ain't going nowhere. So that's always an option, as we heard about with Ted Williams. All right, so let's throw this out there real quick. Let's go to cut 40 here just to kind of establish this. 877-881-1053. The question right now is, what's wrong with Jerry? What is the truth? What is really wrong? Why did he snap like that today? Let's hear what Jerry Jones had to say to the boys.
Oh, I remember those criticisms very well. Okay, so what?
Are they playing out to be accurate?
What's your point?
My point is, it seems like...
Let me tell you what I'll do. Let me tell you what I'll do about it. I will let us sit down and look at the decisions we've made over the last several years. Okay. I'll look at it. Now, if you think I'm interested in on a damn phone call with you over a radio and sitting here and throwing all the good out with the dishwater, you have got to be smoking something over there this morning. I'm not. And I really don't, and I don't even want our listeners to listen to me, to talk about this is not your job. Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
why.
Y'all
get a job, or I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Okay. I don't know exactly what that means, like what he feels that's going to change there. But the part of, I think he's tired of hearing hearing the questions he was asked in the offseason where he said, where he was like, look, we're not making these moves because we have money tab for Dak Prescott. And CeeDee Lamb, he brought that up multiple times in the interview too.
Right.
Highest paid quarterback, highest paid CeeDee Lamb. And he's admitting that they have they did that and they're going to have to take a little bit of a hit somewhere else for it. He's said that multiple times, but he doesn't want to point out that, hey, look, we did fail. We did. Right now, it looks like we failed at getting the pieces in place to make this a successful season, to make us as competitive as we were last year. And he's saying we paid those guys. That wasn't enough. Jerry, that wasn't enough to give you a new advantage on this season. Now you're having to build up and you just got your butts whooped and now everybody's mad about it because you didn't do enough in the offseason. So that's where I think Jerry has a complete disconnect with what everybody else's anger is really about.
You know,
those questions that Sean and Bobby were asking and RJ as well, those questions he's answered over and over. He's answered to his failure, and I think he's just tired of it.
Yeah. I'm with you. I agree with everything you said. I'm looking at YouTube right now, and thanks to, we have over 1,000 people right now on YouTube watching, is they're saying, well, he's mad that he signed Dak. He won't say it, but he's mad at that. No, he's not. Now, I asked this question back to you, Corey, and also to YouTube and to the listeners right now and to Twitch and everybody is, I thought of this yesterday as I was getting back and seeing that everybody's really mad that they lost 47-9 is, what's the toughest decision Jerry has made in the last decade? Like, what has been his tough decisions? Because when he's getting mad at Sean and RJ, like, you want me to go to your little peasant town down on the mountain? You know, I'm on top of the mountain. You're down there. You want me to talk to you peasants, the radio personalities, the listeners right now, you know, that probably are, like, at best buying tickets in the upper deck? That's pretty much what he's saying. Like, hey, you peasants, you know, like, I don't have to do this. I can go to DallasCowboys.com. I do pay those people,
mm-hmm.
and they will ask. I can write them the questions. They'll just ask me the questions that way. Not, I do like those guys. Nothing against those guys. But, I mean, he could do that if he wanted to. He could just use his own platform and do the interviews, and it would just be, hey, Jerry, you just tell us what you want to say right here, and we move on and move forward. But in the last decade, what's been the tough decision he's made?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he let Zeke go? Oh, he let Jason Witten retire? Oh, he paid Tony Romo to retire? Like, what's the toughest decision I think he made in the last decade was he had to let go of his adopted son, Jason Garrett, as the head coach. That's like probably for him, his toughest decision he's made in the last decade when it comes to football decisions, excluding LA Rams and stuff like that.
The first three answers that came in, Mike, on your question that you just asked, What's the toughest decision in the last decade or so that Jerry's had to make? First one, cutting DeMarcus Ware loose. Second one, toughest was moving on from Garrett. Third one, Romo and Dak decision was the toughest one he's had to make.
I agree with those.
Those three are tough. I think the Jason Garrett one stands out for me the most.
And probably in the last decade, I don't know if Ware fits in there but we can expand it to the last 11, 12 years. Yeah. But he doesn't make tough decisions. He doesn't make tough decisions.
And you know, the thing about that is,
he makes the easiest decisions you can make doing the job.
This is the frustrating part because of what you just said, doing the job. The job that he does is he owns a football team.
Yeah.
But he also decided, I'm going to be the guy that obsesses over the team so much so that I have to make the difficult decisions to make it better. Right. And if I don't, I'm going to lose my job. And he doesn't have that. He doesn't. There's a different hunger. And everybody out there knows right now, we're all fighting for our lives out there. Everybody knows that if you have a boss that's about to come down on you for not winning or doing your job correctly or not doing it effectively enough, that changes the way you approach it. It makes you more hungry. Jerry, while he might be hungry for more, he said, I want a bigger boat. Hey, while he might be hungry for more, it's not the same type of hunger that a GM who's fearing his job is going to make. And whenever you go into the offseason, okay, let's think about this for a second. Chris Young went into this offseason and was like, I got to figure something out budget-wise, right? Like, my budget looks like it's going to be different. And they didn't sign anybody. What happened? They failed.
Right.
They were bad. They weren't as good this year. They stayed the same as a team, and they thought, hey, we were a championship team. We should be able to compete again next year.
Right.
Didn't re-sign. Let's say it was Montgomery was the difference. I don't know.
Right.
So their record goes down. Now this offseason, owner's like, I don't want to do that again. Let's try and make some other decisions here. Let's try and figure something else out. Now Chris Young has to go back and go work Tetris to figure out how to make this a new season for the Rangers. That's missing with the Cowboys. They go back and they look at it and they're like, we still have plenty of time. We still have plenty of time. Yeah. Nobody's coming down on us. Nobody's hurting us. The league can't affect us. We're untouchable.
And I know a lot of people listening right now are Cowboy fans and they're not.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Texas Ranger fans, or they're not Dallas Maverick fans, or they're not Dallas Stars fans. And I get a lot of you are too, but there's quite a few people right now I can see on YouTube that are listening that are Cowboy fans from around the country that wouldn't be Dallas Fort Worth fans. And I totally get, thank you for listening. But when I look at the Texas Rangers and I look at what Ray Davis ended up doing. Now, Ray Davis does not speak to the media much at all. He lets John Daniels, Nolan Ryan, then just John Daniels, and now Chris Young speak to the media. They're going to be the mouthpiece of the Texas Rangers. He's not going to be that person, which you can like that or dislike that. You can like that Jerry comes on and talks all the time after games and in between games, or not like it. He doesn't care. He doesn't really care about you. Now, when I go to this, Ray Davis looked at John Daniels' plan from about 2017. I'm letting you a little bit inside the Texas Rangers here. And the plan was, we're going to rebuild. After 15 and 16, you had the best record in the American League, and it didn't work out. You got swept in the playoffs. There was a somewhat retool, rebuild type of plan that was kind of 2020, 2021. This is all going to work out. I'm looking at my farm system. It's not good at the upper levels, but I really love it at the lower levels. It didn't work out. So Ray Davis, as the owner of the Rangers, said, screw it. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't agree with it. I was public here. I did not agree with the plan. But Ray Davis said, I'm tired of losing. And I get that Jerry isn't really losing. He's making a ton of money and he's made the playoffs the last 3 years. So there is a difference. But he said, I'm tired of this. This didn't work out. Your plan in 2017 of a 2021 kind of, we're going to be there. It didn't work out. So he decided, I'm going to spend money. I'm going to go crazy a little bit, like on spending money. I'm going to give Corey Seager this huge contract, Marcus Semien a really big contract, John Gray a big contract. I'm going to try things differently. And I thought, this is not going to work out. This is not the way to do it, to just spend. It doesn't work out. It worked out, and I couldn't believe it. But in year two, it worked out to a championship. And they spent more money, right? After that, then they got Nathan Eovaldi. They got Jacob deGrom. He just said, screw it. For 2 years, he said, screw it. I'm going to try to buy this thing. And I get, yes, there's no cap, but there kind of is. There's more to go into it, and I won't go into it. But you look at it, and I will say this. Do you see the change that Ray Davis was able to make as an owner of a team? Tell me the change.
By getting an aggressive GM to go be aggressive. Go be a dog.
The major change Jerry has made in his life. In 89, he only knew that winning would change things because I went to the games for free, Cowboy fans that are too young. There was 20,000 to 30,000 empty seats at Texas Stadium every game in the late 80s. Every game. It was only half full.
Fans will pay for a winner. They'll pay for a winner.
And so that's all he knew was I have to change it to a winner because this losing is there, nobody's showing up. Quickly, Jimmy changed it into a winner. Then they broke up, and then things started, you know, going in a bad direction. Then he needed a new stadium, so he hired Bill Parcells. That didn't work out very long. It did work out, but not very long. And then Jerry's been Jerry this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't make tough decisions. And I don't know what would make him make a tough decision the rest of his life.
I will add this. I hope that he's as contentious with the coaches, as contentious with players that he talks to, as he was with Sean and RJ this morning. That whole line about, hey, I'll go to somebody else. I hope players are feeling that too. I hope they're in that place. I commend Sean and Bobby and RJ for keeping their cool this morning. A lot of times it's tough. You could take that personal in that moment. Hey, man, I'm glad that these dudes are on our station. They're badasses. I appreciate what they do every single morning. They hop up and take a crappy morning shift every day and have to do that and not be grumpy, but they are. But it was awesome stuff this morning, but I hope that Jerry Jones is contentious with everybody else that's executing something on the field or failing to execute it right now. Coming up,
got a text, by the way. It said, did Jerry fire the fan?
No, not yet. Coming up next, Mike asks all the football questions next on The Fan.
Third and eight, snap to Goff. Stunt, they blitz him. He throws it deep down the right side. Caught, Jameson Williams, over Diggs, in for the touchdown.
Hey, that could be the reason that Jerry was upset right there. Like, I mean, you saw what happened on the field. It can be very frustrating. It made me quit watching at one point. Barry Fish on the YouTube, Mike, has said, I'll always be Dallas Cowboys for life. However, this year's toast, boys. Just go along for the ride. Watch them on TV. Sad part is opposing teams are going to pay while your team doesn't. The Twitch and YouTube, you can hear us right now, but you can't see us.
Oh, no.
So if you're on the Twitch and YouTube right now, we're doing a hard reboot at the moment, and we'll have the backup. We'll have it right there for you in just a moment.
I actually lost it on my computer. I was like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah, you hit the X button, and that closed it out,
Mike.
No,
I didn't do that.
It's okay, though. But yeah, we'll be up and running here in just a second here. Okay. But while we're in the meantime of it, while we're rolling through some other things, Mike is going to ask all the football questions.
All right, so my first football question to you two. Alec, chime on in. Corey, you go first.
Yes, sir.
Jared Goff versus Dak Prescott. Both drafted in the same draft, 2017, obviously one being the first overall pick, Dak being a fourth round pick. But they have a lot of stats now. They have a lot of history in this league. They both have at most 10 years left, and they probably don't. Like, they probably don't have 10 years left in their career. But if you look at where they're at, who has had a better career, Jared Goff or Dak Prescott, and why?
Okay. I love this discussion, and I kind of had this discussion. I asked Jerry about this the other day, and then he decided to talk all about Dak Prescott in the moment. But the numbers are so close. I mean, let's look at the yards real quick. For Jared Goff, 31,759 yards. For Dak Prescott, 31,061 yards. For touchdowns for Jared Goff, 193. For touchdowns for Dak Prescott, 210. For Jared Goff interceptions, 86. Dak Prescott interceptions, 80. And then you go look at quarterback record. In Dak Prescott's career. Oh, crap, where did it go? I lost those. All right, we'll have to look at quarterback record. 76-44 in his career. Jared Goff, 70-51. They're very similar.
Right.
But if I'm going to say, hey,
ask the hard football
I want to be one of the dudes, then I'm going to say I want to be the dude that went to the Super Bowl. I want to be the dude that's been to multiple NFC championships now. And so far, Jared Goff's been on the teams that have put him in that place. I've always said this about Tony Romo, and I'm starting to see it and feel like it's more that way for Dak Prescott right now. Tony Romo always seemed like he was trying to live up to the Cowboys star on every play. And Dak Prescott right now is looking the same way. I have to live up to this $260 million contract on every single play. I have to live up to everything, every expectation, every failure of the Cowboys organization on every play. And that's why I think that right now you're seeing a more frazzled Dak Prescott, while you're seeing a Jared Goff who said, I'm taking this leadership role of a franchise that's been miserable for almost their entirety, and he's relishing this moment right now.
Alec?
It's tough because Corey mentioned how similar they are in terms of overall success and their stats and their careers. So I go to postseason, where Jared Goff obviously has been to a Super Bowl and on paper has been better. Passer rating of 88.4, two interceptions only in 9 games in the playoffs. He has a winning record in the playoffs as well. Dak Prescott further from that, 2-5 postseason record. And I do like the story arc of Jared Goff better, where his original team didn't want him anymore. And they said, we'll go and trade you for a dude that's 10 years older than you. Yeah. Go win a Super Bowl, and that's fine and dandy. But he goes to Detroit, and he gives them a new sense of life with his new head coach, Dan Campbell, and everything. I do think that he's kind of redeemed himself in a way that Dak hasn't been able to do for Cowboys fans, at least just because he hasn't been in that situation. So story arc, everything considered postseason success, I'd take Jared Goff.
By the way, Mike, somebody said Dak because of contracts. Jared Goff in his career earnings, $241 million. Dak Prescott, his career earnings, $248 million. So if you want that extra $7 million, you win.
Okay. Okay, now, next football question. All right, this is optimistic Mike coming in here.
Okay.
I don't think the Cowboys are going to do anything special in the playoffs if they make the playoffs. But I'm looking at the NFC, and I get Minnesota is 5-0. But man, the NFC looks like crap. Aiden Hutchinson, maybe done for the year, maybe done for the playoffs. We'll see how his broken leg heals. I guess they're optimistic that maybe he could make it back at the end of the year. Maybe he could be a playoff. But that crushes them. We know that Micah Parsons is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will he stay healthy the rest of the year? We know that DeMarcus Lawrence is coming back. But I know there's questions on how healthy will they be, how good will the Cowboys be, will they be in playoff contention, this and that. But if you look at Detroit, and I know Green Bay's played better, I'm looking at this. San Francisco's 3-3. They have the same record as you do. The NFC looks like crap. Is there optimism if you're a Cowboys fan that if you can get this together, this is the crappiest the NFC has maybe been in the history of football?
Yeah, and that's why I think a lot of fans are frustrated at what you're seeing right now. The NFC is as wide open as it's been in like the known history. Philadelphia being where they are puts you in a better position. The fact that the Commanders are doing what they're doing is frustrating, because you went on last year looking very good and then said you're all in. And that's why a lot of people were like, you need to add to a roster that's good if you want to continue to be better. Yeah, look at the Mavericks. They said, hey, we're a good team with Luka and Kai. Let's go be a better team with these other guys. Let's get aggressive with this. And they did. So, yeah, it is frustrating right now to see that and to see how wide open the NFC is.
All right, so now another NFC question. The NFC North, this has never happened in football because it couldn't. Remember, you would have 4 division winners and 2 wild card teams.
Gotcha.
Now you have 3 wild card teams. So that's just recent. So now looking at 3 wild card teams, what's the percentage that you put on in the NFC that Minnesota, Detroit, Green Bay, and Chicago make the playoffs, that you have a division winner in the East, the South, and the West,
man.
And all the wild card teams are filled up with the NFC North?
Percentage chance? Oh, man. I don't know if any of those teams can continue this. They keep proving me wrong is the thing. So I got to put it above.
If it ended today, that would happen. If it ended today, all 4 teams in the North would make the NFC play. Would make the NFC playoffs.
I'm going to say it's a less than 50% chance. I'm going to go with like maybe a 40% chance that it actually happens. But I do think it goes to your previous point, the previous question, that the NFC is so weak and so wide open that it very well could happen. And I want to see it happen. I don't think it will, but I do want to see it happen.
I think Alex pretty dead on. I think less than even him, though. I think it's more 30% chance that all four of them, because it's just so difficult. And they all have to play each other, too.
Right.
Like that part of it's going to happen at some point. That's going to affect those division records there. But Kevin asked this last week.
I could be wrong, by the way, as I'm looking. I forgot that Tampa Bay is 4-2.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
So they might have a tiebreaker in some weird way right now that nobody cares about over the Packers or Bears.
Kevin asked last week, similar, but he said, in overreaction to reality, that division is the cream of the crop right now. And I was like, I don't know. There's some things that could still go wrong, but then they all win. It looks good. And you're like, oh, wow. They are the best right now in the NFL. That okay. division is the best one in the NFL record-wise. You don't want to play any of those teams. Defenses are good. Offenses are good. They are the best one right now. I would put it around 30% that happens because anything could happen okay. to any four of those teams.
Now I ask the next question based off the NFC North. What's your percentage that three teams make it?
Oh, man, I would probably move more up to like 45, 50% there.
I would move. You're real quick, Alex. Before
maybe even 70. Maybe
I would,
60.
I would go to 80%.
Yeah, that's really, really possible.
Now, maybe I'm too high on that. But
we've seen that happen before. We've seen the Cowboys.
Two out of three,
A couple years ago, it was Cowboys, Eagles, and Giants. So they were all three in. So I definitely think that's more possible.
I'd say like 70, 75%. I think that could happen.
Yeah. All right, so I have this question because I haven't got to watch, to be honest. What is, and I know we have we're a ways away from this, what's wrong with the 49ers? Is it really Christian McCaffrey? Because it still looks like stats-wise, they're running the ball pretty well. They're not maybe Christian McCaffrey running it well, but they are, help me out here, you two. What's wrong? I get why the Cowboys are 3-3. I think you should be thanking the football gods that you're 3-3 Cowboy fans. What's up with the 49ers being 3-3?
I'll be, in my opinion, and this might be me being selfish here, they don't use Jordan Mason like they use Christian McCaffrey. They run him and he gets yard. He's producing as a running back, but they don't use him in the same manner in the passing game, which I think they should. And they decide instead they're going to go with Debo there. Whenever they have Debo and Christian McCaffrey on the field, it's two guys, it's two queens, right? It's two, and I say that in chess. You have two queens on the board now because they can do anything on the field. And whenever you just have Jordan Mason saying, I'm going to be a rook, then it's just like he can only do one thing. I don't know if he can't. Maybe he can't catch the ball. Maybe that's one of the reasons, but they don't use him the same way. And I think that bogs down their offense whenever they get into the red zone.
You hit the nail on the head because Kyle Shanahan has been on record saying that.
Yeah.
Like, he literally said, I think it was a week or two ago, he said it's a totally different game plan when McCaffrey is healthy and when he's playing. They are running a different offense without him. On top of that, their defense still really beat up from some long-term injuries that happened at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. So I think just overall health is really impacting them as well.
All right, so now my last football question is Devontae Adams, if you don't know, we broke the news as soon as it happened. It wasn't our show. It was in the 9 a.m. hour that Devontae Adams got traded to the New York Jets for a second round pick. Was that?
Yeah, it's second or the third conditional third that could be moved up to a second.
Thank you. All right. Does that, the Jets are 2-4. Help me out here. What's your thoughts on Devontae Adams has gone to the Jets? They're 2-4. What do you guys think this does for the Jets?
It doesn't help. It doesn't help the protection of Aaron Rodgers, which was a problem last night. Tyron Smith got beat bad on one of the plays last night. Garrett Wilson looked good last night. I thought he looked really good with what they were trying to accomplish. I think that he wasn't on the same page with Mike Williams, and that might be something that's a failure there. But it's not going to help the protection, but it does give them another offensive weapon to go to. He might get the volume of everything. Aaron Rodgers trusts him. He trusts that the offense that they run together is more effective. So I think that it's just another move. I think it's pretty crappy that they do it after they fire the coach, though. I mean, you didn't give the coach the best opportunity there, but I think it's pretty crappy that you make that move. Maybe you should have made that move first and then, but they looked like a different team to start the game last night. Offensively, they looked like they were clicking and in sync, and then Greg Zuerlein, if he had missed, three of them it felt like last night, maybe that would have been a different outcome, but I still think they were going after Devontae Adams the whole time anyway.
I feel like the AFC is kind of looking at them like Thanos in the Avengers movie where, you know, he takes a shot to the face, he's like, all that for a drop of blood?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I feel like the top of the AFC is like, really? Because that team has more than one issue. They have many issues, and you mentioned it. Their offensive line isn't keeping the quarterback up, and the quarterback ain't the same guy that he used to be. So I think it's going to help Does it fix everything? No, I still look at them exactly the same as I did last night.
And that's Mike Ask All the Football Questions without even watching football. And dude, I couldn't.
Well,
don't make fun of me. Don't say I can't believe I was in Italy. There's a 7-hour difference and they don't put the games on television there. You have to go to like special bars that somehow will stay open from, let's say, 10 p.m. to 5 a.m.
There was a game in London, Mike. You could have gone to that game. You know what, though, Mike? I'm proud of you, man. That was fantastic work. Coming up next, let's stick with more of it. Baseball nuggets with Mike Bacsik and maybe some gold glove options there, too.
All right, this is dream come true for Major League Baseball. Next.
Now the 0-1 is hit in the air to left center. It is high. It is far. Oh, it is gone. A Stantonian home run. Giancarlo. Nosy Puesto Barlo.
Baseball playoffs are exciting right now. It's fun to watch, fun to be involved in what's going on there. By the way, Marcus Semien and Nathaniel Lowe are Gold Glove finalists for the Texas Rangers. We'll see how that shakes out at the end of this whole thing. We will have Mickey Spagnola coming up here at 11 o'clock, so stick around if you want to hear more about what happened with Jerry. We'll talk with Mickey about it here in just a few minutes, but right now it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
All right, so obviously I've been gone for the whole playoffs.
What?
Yeah. So I've see the scores. I know the scores, and I saw like the highlight of Lindor hitting the big grand slam
home
run.
That was huge, man.
Like, and then I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank right now, but Lane Thomas hitting the big home run, a grand slam, right, for Cleveland, mm-hmm. that really helped them make it here into the ALCS. But to start this off, this is a dream come true for baseball, and baseball does need this. Football, it doesn't matter. I mean, honestly,
I'm going to watch football.
If it was Jacksonville versus name a crap team that nobody cares about in the NFC.
Cleveland.
Well, yeah, they're both in the AFC, but I get what you're saying. It doesn't matter. Millions of billions of people will watch the Super Bowl. It doesn't matter who's in it. Yeah, the Panthers versus the Jaguars. It doesn't matter who's in the Super Bowl. It matters a little bit. I get it. If the Cowboys were to ever make the Super Bowl again in our lifetime, it would matter. It would probably raise up, you know, your watchability by, let's say, 20%. But they're still going to get such an unbelievable rating for those NFC championship, AFC championship games and the Super Bowl that it really doesn't matter who makes it. Basketball, it does matter. We've seen nothing against whoever, but let's just take a long time ago, the San Antonio Spurs versus the New Jersey Nets. People aren't watching that. Now, I know times have changed. They need LeBron's team to make it. They want Steph Curry's team to make it. They want the biggest names or the biggest. They want Lakers Celtics with the biggest names on those teams.
They loved having the Celtics. They were like, oh, the Mavs. Mavs.
Right. The Mavs. Even though you have Luka, and Luka just maybe status-wise as great as he is and first-team All-NBA 5 years in a row, I do think the Mavs making the NBA Finals hurt a little bit. I don't think Minnesota would have helped it.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like, in a way, the West is a little bit limited in that. And in let's just say the National League, they're a little bit limited because you do have the Yankees and you have the Red Sox, such huge fan bases, and they want one of those teams every year to be the team in the World Series for the American League and win. I'm just going to go back a year ago. And unfortunately, look, I don't care. You listening, if you're a Ranger fan, we don't care that the ratings were horrible around the country.
No, we won a damn World Series.
Doesn't matter. We're the champs.
Yeah.
I don't care if people in Kansas City or Los Angeles or Seattle or wherever didn't watch. We watched our team win the World Series. But for baseball, it was a bad matchup in the World Series. The Diamondbacks versus the Rangers got bad ratings around the country. So now that you have the Yankees in, and you can hate the Yankees. I'm not telling you not to hate the Yankees. I'm going to be honest. For baseball, and I want baseball to be more watchable, more successful, the Yankees need to win this series against Cleveland. Okay. I'm wearing my old Cleveland undershirt right now today from 2001. I told my son before the game started, I said, for baseball, the Yankees need to make it. He's like, so you have no connection at all to Cleveland anymore or the Mets? And I said, not really, I said I did get to play for those teams, but not really. But then as soon as the game started and Kwan had like a 9-pitch at bat, I'm like, get on base. Let's go. And it's because, one, there is a connection to Cleveland. Two, there is that just built-in being a Ranger fan as a kid, the hate of the New York Yankees. So as much as I know the Yankees need to make the World Series for baseball, I still found myself rooting for Cleveland last night. I can't root for the Yankees in this. I don't know if I could ever root for the Yankees, probably against the Astros.
I never have.
Let me. And it has happened. Recently,
it's
happened.
I just chose not to look at the AL in that one. Yeah. I was like, nope, not even paying attention.
But you have.
It's frustrating.
You have. The scenario that would probably be a little bit more perfect is the Phillies are more popular than the Mets. Not by a lot. But you look at your top teams.
That's a hardcore fan base, too.
Yankees are the most popular team in baseball by far. It's not even close. You know what? You know what I saw in Italy? I saw two hats in Italy. Not just two hats. But I saw Yankees and I saw Dodgers.
It makes sense.
And I will say, most of the people wearing Dodgers hats were visiting from Asia. And I don't know if it's Korea,
that
Japan.
Makes a lot of sense, like, yeah.
But you have Shohei Ohtani, you have Yamamoto, you have you go back to Hideo Nomo. I don't know how far it goes back. But the Dodgers have made a plan that we are going to spend $1 billion over the next 10 years on Japan. We are going to make Japan the official team we're going to make the Dodgers the official team of Japan. And I think they're going to do it. If you are in Italy with me, by the way, I have to say this. Wendy was the wife, and I know I'm going to get this wrong. I'm sorry. I want to say Charles, but I don't think that's right. I know I'm messing that up, but Wendy, you're the wife.
All right.
When we were in Rome yesterday and we're going through like the customs to then go to our gate in Rome, not coming back, a guy goes, hey, Tolo. And
nice.
I'm a big Ranger fan too.
Yes.
And we stopped and we said hello. And I'm sorry. I know I don't think Charles is his name. If it is, then I'm getting it right. But I remember
hey, Charles, if you're out there.
I remember Wendy. So if you had somebody that you know that just went on a big cruise and they ended in Rome and then flew back from Rome, they are Tolos and they said hello yesterday in the airport in Rome. But I saw Dodgers hats and I saw Yankees hats. In Italy. Those were the only two teams. So you have to understand how big this will be. If the Yankees and the Dodgers make the World Series, this will be huge for not only the United States for baseball, but for the world.
Yeah.
They will tune in. If it's Cleveland versus the Mets, the world's not tuning in. Only Cleveland fans and only Mets fans will tune in. And the Mets, if they make it, as long as the Yankees make it, Subway Series, that will be pretty big. And the Mets are probably a top 7 team market-wise. I would say it's easily to say Yankees 1, Dodgers 2, Red Sox 3. Those are top 3 by far. There's a separation there.
Yeah.
And then you probably have Phillies are 4. And then you start getting into New York Mets, Houston Astros. Recently, I do know that the Texas Rangers, being part of meetings and stuff, they have built up their fan base to easily top 10.
Oh, nice.
Now, I don't know how much of a hit they're going to take after winning only 78 games.
Better, yeah.
But I do know that you have the dream scenario that baseball needs. Baseball needs right now Yankees Dodgers. They really do. So am I rooting hard for that? It's tough because the team that I grew up with, like in the minor leagues, the Cleveland Indians then, now Guardians. And then the team I got traded to was the New York Mets. It would be really cool in a way that my son's favorite player ever is Francisco Lindor. There would be a story there, but the story needs to be for baseball. Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts,
Juan Soto,
Garrett Cole. You just start looking at all of this. Now, I can't name a pitcher for the Dodgers that like makes hay because like today Walker Buehler's pitching.
Yeah.
I don't know if I hadn't
people
this.
Given up on him.
I don't know if Walker Buehler's a major league pitcher.
Yeah.
Now here's the deal.
He had a really good outing, but he's not.
If he's
great.
A free agent, which I think he is, you're betting on that he can get back to the person he was before this Tommy John surgery, because after this Tommy John surgery, and it's been a while now, he is not the same. So and they're not playing today. They have the day off as they have the long travel from LA to New York. Tonight, just one game, Cleveland at New York.
You got Yamamoto.
Yes, Yamamoto.
So that's significant.
But he's barely pitched this year.
Yeah, you're right.
He was 7-2. Was that like he didn't pitch much because he was hurt a lot of the year.
I saw him out there throwing his javelins the other day. I thought that was
crazy. But for Japan, right? You have Shohei and Yamamoto. But I look at it and go, man, baseball could take an uptick in popularity. I think that right now, obviously ESPN, I haven't been watching, been out of the country, but what are they doing? They're covering 100% NFL because of what Jerry Jones said here on 105.3 The Fan, and that Devontae Adams was traded this morning to the New York Jets. If you haven't heard, telling you again that it was for a third round pick, conditional. It can go to a second round pick. I'm following you on that one.
I believe so, yeah.
Is that, you know, that those are the big news. They're only covering football on ESPN. If it ends up being Dodgers and Yankees, they're going to have to do a segment a day, if not three segments a day on that. If it's ending up being...
And then they got to call people to come on and be their baseball experts.
And I hate saying this, right? That's because they don't have any more. Is if it ends up being like a Rangers-Diamondback series, ESPN didn't cover the World Series last year. They didn't care because they're like, crap, we got Rangers and Diamondbacks. We don't have a spotlight on those two teams. Let's be honest. Most of the people didn't even know who were on the Rangers and Diamondbacks when they made the World Series. They're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
They wanted Phillies versus Astros. Not that that'd be the best World Series, but you'd get two top 10 markets. Rangers, borderline top 10 market last year. Obviously, things change when they win the World Series. And Diamondbacks have no market. I went to the Diamondback games, getting lucky enough to call those games. Their fans don't cheer much. You know, like it's just there. They have a team. So anyways, Aaron Judge, I was going to get into him, kind of ran out of time here. It's interesting how bad he's been in the playoffs, but I just don't think he's bad. I think he is great. He's going to be an MVP again. And gosh, they're up 1-0 in the ALCS, and Aaron Judge has done about absolutely nothing in the playoffs so far.
Yeah, it was. I was talking a little bit about this last week, Mike. Then Shohei was kind of getting dinged for not doing enough. And they're like, oh, he has the home run, but he's been 0 for this. I was like, man, I wouldn't pitch to him. If I could pitch around him, I'm doing it. And granted, with these lineups, those batting lineups, it's difficult to pitch around. But I do wonder, last year, Alvarez... It was low and away, low and away, low and away. And if you needed to, you'd go high and in. But you did not give him anything to hit. And if you did, he crushed it for a double. And I think a lot of teams are just like, we're staying away from those. We'll let other guys get us, but we're going to stay away from it.
So those are my first baseball nuggets in a long time. And I know I didn't get specific into certain games or certain aspects. I really couldn't. But
you got
I just,
the rest of the week to get
I think rolling. For baseball, we have what it needed. And that is two New Yorks. And the LA Dodgers.
Let me add also, Mike, at some point, a situation is going to come up where they have to pitch to Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
And when they do,
well, I saw him strike out last night before I went to sleep.
There you go. All right, coming up next, let's talk with Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com right here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.